Welcome to the Smart Thinking Podcast. This is my dad, Ted.
Welcome to the Smart Thinking Podcast. I'm your host, Ted Knightsky. There's a fine balance between confidence and arrogance, and that is the subject of this week's podcast. It all started with a comment my son made at the dinner table the other night when he was talking about a classmate and how that classmate was flexing. Now I thought to myself, and I caught myself in a weird dad moment, why would this kid be flexing all the time? Who's impressed with somebody flexing their muscles? But before I could look like a total fool, I began to realize my son was talking about people who show off. Admittedly, I haven't spent a lot of time in a high school in a while, and I kept my ignorance to myself. But my son got me thinking about the idea of flexing and how too often people feel compelled or angered by others not recognizing the work they do. Leadership is the ability to influence others, and I almost always focus on the positive impact that influence has. But sometimes leadership can have a significantly negative impact. That can come in the form of people who lack humility and come across as arrogant. Confidence is a buffalo characteristic, but an overly confident person that focuses on getting credit, self-promoting, and focusing on recognition, well, that is arrogance, and it's dangerous, as well as flexing. There are two types of flexing: true arrogance driven by a self-centered egotism, and the second and slightly excusable low-confidence arrogance. The first type of flexing here is the type that is most dangerous to a high-functioning team. It is the person with a talent who knows it and has a sense of elevated status as a result, and they self-position themselves as better than others. Think back to high school and the kid who was a gifted athlete but felt they were better than others because of their super-celebrated talent. That behavior can be found not just in classrooms, but in boardrooms as well. Success can breed an overconfidence in some that becomes unattractive to others, and as a result, can kill the culture. The second arrogance is driven by the lack of confidence of a person, someone who is constantly bringing attention to themselves because they secretly are afraid to fail, are overly worried about what other people think of them, and they care more about recognition than results. Both of these types of arrogance are real and perceived, and they can be significant deterrents for team success. While some people are attracted to these types of behaviors, it is usually only for the short term, and this type of leader does not garner long-term loyalty, respect, or love from those they serve. Why? Well, when you are with someone who is always flexing, they blame you for failure. They are unforgiving in their own drive to get the credit, attention, or the spotlight. They push others out of the way. In buffalo terms, this is the one in the herd who races ahead of the herd in order to turn around well beyond everyone and say things like, "Hey, what took you so long? Why are you all so slow? And if you were more like me, you'd have gotten here quicker." The danger there is that they don't have the needs of the herd first. They are not serving others first. They are self-focused. And as a result, they are alone, isolated, and eventually will find themselves needing support. But when you be flexing all the time, you are not attractive to others. Confidence, on the other hand, is the leader who's willing to take risks, understands the role of projecting strength, but is vulnerable and focuses on the needs of others first. A great quote to help me illustrate the difference is this: there's a thin line between confidence and arrogance. It's called humility. Confidence smiles while arrogance smirks. There are people in the world who are equally intimidated by both types of leaders, the flexing type and the confident type, and that is why leaders who serve either type of these behaviors need to employ a few strategies. So what do you do as a leader, teacher, parent, or friend? I have three strategies to support the development of your culture, no matter what types of people you have in the organization. The greatest quality within any culture is the ability for that team to collaborate. In order to do so, the leader needs to actively focus on cultivating an environment that is safe for the egotist and the significant introvert. That is done by a continual reinforcement of expected behaviors. The first strategy is gratitude. Many times people who are arrogant are so because they are actually insecure and just need to know where they stand. And a leader who demonstrates gratitude on a frequent basis reduces the likelihood that someone will need to be flexing or competing. I have run team norming sessions for other organizations and had people score how often they need to be told if they are on track or doing a good job. Now, I have to admit, I'm not very good at this, so I have to ask, because I'm not really motivated by being told I'm doing a good job or that I'm on the right track. But I am in the minority of people with that type of mindset. And as a result, I've actually had to grow in my leadership in order to support those that I serve. So being conscientious is the first step. The second is regularly being grateful to those you serve for the time, effort, and care they are putting into their work. Now, this is important. This is not done publicly, but privately. People who operate with a low self-esteem, who appear arrogant, will more than likely respond poorly in public to public praise. Not in that they'll be embarrassed by the praise, it's the exact opposite. They'll embarrass you. Because when you compliment them, they'll do something insensitive like saying, well, I know I was pretty awesome on that project, or, you know, maybe I should give a little speech here about how well I did. And they always are trying to build off of their own perceived awesomeness. And they'll point it out. And that's why it's dangerous. Now, this leads me to the second strategy for dealing with people who are always flexing. Positive reinforcement in public of the behaviors you want in your culture. When you have people in your culture who make the mistake of assuming they are better or that every moment is a competition, they're truly arrogant people, you need to reinforce to the community what skills you appreciate in a collaborative culture. Humility is something that can be learned, and the quickest way to move people to true buffalo herd levels of collaboration is to regularly and with great frequency reinforce the behaviors that you need for that team to be successful. Too many times, corporate and classroom environments are built on things like competition and prizes, medals and bonuses. So some people have learned to chase those extrinsic rewards at all costs and push other people out of the way. Turn it around. Turn it around by reinforcing publicly the skills and behaviors that are needed. Use stories of success from small instances on a team to illustrate and recognize. Here's a couple of examples. For one, hey guys, yesterday I saw the four members of a group work collaboratively to pull together the resources needed to meet the deadlines, and I appreciate that each of them put each other first, and no one was first but the entire team. And here's another example. Second, I really appreciated it when a few students who were done with their work early took the time to support a few students who were struggling, and as a result, everyone was successful. Now, if you think about the inverse of that, you would normally say things like, I really appreciated those of you who focused on your work and got things done. Good job, Jill. And yesterday, I saw a couple of members really step it up and they helped their whole team get it all together. No! We focus on working together, collaboration, stepping up, and not the individual. Because once we do that, well, then we create an environment that supports and propels arrogance. Sometimes as a leader, you have to call it out and flat out say that you don't appreciate when people race to get your attention, when people put others down in an effort to lift themselves up, and you don't want to be the coach of a champion, but the coach of champions. The reason you need to do this is because too often leaders mistake the arrogant for success, and as a result, they reinforce the wrong behaviors. Too often, we negatively reinforce and demotivate the herd by building a pedestal for those that flex. The last strategy is more difficult for leaders, but a necessary one. The conversation with the flexer. Many times, those who are acting in this manner don't realize it, and no one has had the courage to talk to them and build their own empathy of the way in which they are creating destructive wakes in their path. Leaders have an obligation to support those they serve, and building empathy is a critical part of this. It's very easy to have a hard conversation with a slow buffalo. Come on, man, you're slowing us down. But it's not always easy to have a discussion with the buffalo that is successful and arrogant. However, I can tell you in my own experience that many times the arrogant are people who are just confident and have not been humbled or have forgotten how to be humble as a result of their own real or perceived success. The conversation is simple and easy. Here is your stem sentence. When addressing someone who is arrogant and self-centered, you simply have to say this. Listen, Jill, the story in my head is that your recent success has resulted in your failure to care for the success of others. This is a straightforward statement that you follow up by simply saying this. And I don't want you to respond to this right now. I'd like you to reflect on it, and then we'll talk about it so that you have time to process the narrative that's in my head. When you do this, you put it all on yourself, and the other leader has time to reflect and make corrective course actions. If they don't change, you then have the ability to bring them in again and have a one-on-one with very specific examples. However, most people, upon hearing that statement, are humbled and will open up to you because your statement wasn't accusatory, it was caring. It focused on them and their success and put the blame on you, the leader. Confidence is a great thing and can be built in others through reinforcement, small victories, and modeling. Arrogance has to be addressed, or it's like a flu bug in your organization. People will eventually get tired and then sick, and their production will drop, their trust will wane, and their tolerance for others will be destroyed. A culture of collaboration in a classroom or corporate environment is the responsibility of leadership. People want to be around humble buffaloes, and not those that race into the distance at the expense of others, but those who are willing to go the distance for them. So let's do some smart thinking. Describe the difference between arrogant leadership and confident leadership. List strategies you can employ to create a humble and confident culture. And finally, explain what you need to do to support reflection and create empathetic leaders. That's it. That's the Smart Thinking Podcast. As always, thank you for listening, and please share this on your social media platform and rate this podcast. It helps me help more people by building a greater audience. Thank you to the Well Pennies for their great music, and thank you to my son Charlie for teaching me about flexing. Lastly, this episode was sparked by a few hard conversations I've had to have in a wide variety of environments in the last few weeks. I heard myself say to a few people, "I'm sorry, I don't seek credit, so I'm not good at giving it, and I don't always look for it for others." Each time I said it, it echoed in my head because I realized that the person in front of me was angered because they wanted me to ensure that they were put in the spotlight and wanted to be put first. Well, that is always going to make me reflect because I have a core value of putting myself second, and when people demand I put them first, I always get a weird feeling, and that is when I see the difference between confidence and arrogance. I always feel awful when people are upset about not getting enough credit, but then I worry that those chasing the credit are doing so at the expense of someone else. When we focus first on self, we find ourselves running sideways and not leading. Leadership is about your influence on others and a razor-sharp awareness that those you serve need you to support them, and when you put yourself first, it is at the expense of the single greatest factor of team success, relationships. Focus on others first, find the good in others, reinforce the expectation, and prize team gains, and then life is rewarding. Focusing on yourself, those that have mistreated you, and applying recreational outrage on social media when you don't get the credit, well, that's not endearing. When you find a way to be humble, other-driven, and willing to make sacrifices to ensure colleagues and kids get through the storm, you will build optimism, commitment, and you will be buffalo. Buffalo by nature.
Hold on. What are you dreaming of? Long gone. Lost in a summer love. Go fast, go free. No.